Sinn Féin MLA said that Catholic housing applicants may have even longer to wait under proposals to review the point system used to allocate homes. Kyle McCullen says that Catholic applicants are already waiting longer than their Protestant counterparts, and she says a report written for the department has warned about a potential negative impact on Catholic applicants. I've been speaking to Kyle and asked her how these claims stacked up.
Well, currently, Stephen, Catholics are waiting longer, and I just want to just say at the very top here, this isn't about a zero-based factor in headcount. This is, these facts that I have been obtained through Freedom of Information. So the statistics are actually from either the Housing Executive, the Department for Communities, or both. So at the minute, you have, for example, in one part of North Belfast, you'll have Catholics waiting almost 2 years for a home. And yet in all, if you go to other parts of the north, for example, you'll have people waiting a lot less. And the concern that I have, particularly around the consultation around the allocation of points of the fundamental review that has been known, is that unless there are specific measures to target areas in greatest need and demand, then we're merely going to be tinkering around the edges here. And I mean, I know myself that in parts of right across the north, there are actually houses being built where they're not, the demand isn't as great as others, and that's very concerning.
But how is the point system being changed with the result that Catholics are going to have to wait longer? Is that what you're saying or not?
No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, at the minute, there are huge inequalities in the provision of social housing, okay?
Yeah.
The areas where the inequalities exist more are in North Belfast, West Belfast, Foyle and Newry and Armagh, okay? The Housing Executive have presented a case to the department on how they would like the point system to be changed. I don't know what that is. This was the department's consultation into how the Housing Executive or the point system would be done. We're waiting to see what the results of that consultation are. But meanwhile, the figures and the actual experience of people is getting worse. And I mean, for example, you know, in the article by Noel McAdam, the department said they weren't aware of the report that I was referring to. And that, for me, was quite worrying, because the report I was referring to was a report written by the Equality Commission into key inequalities in housing and communities, where they actually said Catholic people who consider themselves from a Catholic background are waiting longer than any other. And
but they're waiting longer, to be clear, Carol. And I'm not saying that your concerns are not valid, but they're waiting longer because there's more demand. So there's no suggestion here of any sectarian element to this.
No,
it's because there's more demand, right?
Right, there's more demand, but in a case where there's more demand and the Department for Communities and the Housing Executive are governed by objective need, okay?
Yeah.
So when there is demonstrative over a period of years that the demand on those consistencies continues to increase, the actual delivery, the supply, has not actually met the demand. Therefore, those inequalities not only continue to be compounded, but they increase. So in the area that I live in at the minute, the New Lodge, we have three generations living under one roof for a period of years. And that means if teenagers growing up with their grandparents, no space, no privacy, it has an impact on their mental health, a big impact on their self-esteem. And that is something that I cannot, as an elected representative, just, you know, consider inevitable.
Okay. And look, you're not going to like this question, but what about the potential for a reality check that many people have to do, which is they spread their base of where they're prepared to live. So if there is so much demand in a particular area, then, you know, people are, while they want to live close to their families and close to their local schools, maybe they have to push out further from the local community in Northern Ireland, where there is more availability of housing stock.
And they've done that, Stephen. And I know myself that I can think of one case that was in the media last year where a woman from the New Lodge moved into what would seem as a predominantly unionist Protestant loyalist area, and she was intimidated out of her home. She simply went to her private landlord because the availability of a home that wasn't next door to her grandmother, but certainly was within a 10, 15-minute walk. We have people now getting in, and this is where the additional inequality comes in, okay? Because of a lack of housing stock within the public sector, people are going to the private rented sector, okay? The private rented sector is actually costing people more money. It's less regulated. The conditions and the standards of living aren't as good as what they would be in the public sector, and people don't have security of tenure. For example, they don't have the same security as what they would have in a social home. And it's causing people financial hardship. Here's the other add-on to it for people who want to purchase their own home. In an area, if you take North Belfast as an example, it's a patchwork of communities.
But is there available land in North Belfast? Let's say the housing executive did do what you want them to do. Is there land stock available to build houses on?
Well, let me give you three examples, Stephen. You've got the Hillview site, the former Dunsore site on the Crumlin Road, okay?
Who owns them?
Well, they're in private land, okay, but the housing executive have the ability to get into negotiations with private landowners and developers, as they have done and as they are doing as we speak. They didn't stand up for people on the housing waiting list. In fact, it was worse than that. They actually, through a freedom of information obtained by PPR, said that, no, there can't be housing built. This is in response to a North Belfast Housing Association. They said, no, we can't build social housing there because there is no community agreement. So where is the standing up for equality? Where is the standing up for people on the housing waiting list? And unless there is a consensus, we can't build homes. Now, that's absolutely disgraceful, okay? Second example is there were sites identified by the housing executive and were zoned for social housing in North Belfast. You had Frederick Street, which is now Car Park University. You had Nelson Street and the whole debacle around that. 66 family homes should have been on the Nelson Street site. And it went. Now, that went into a whole inquiry, which resulted in an audit office report. That's the second. The third one is Sailortown. Sailortown was cleared to allow for regeneration of the city centre. We're now having conversations about the local development plan from Belfast City Council, trying to get 66,000 people into Belfast. Great. To live, absolutely great. But let's remember, swathes of communities and families, generations, were moved out in order to basically have the North Street interchange. Those families want to move back. There's land there around the docks. There's land in Hillview. There's land where people, if they want to build, okay, if they can build.
And how many, just finally, because I'm running out of time, how many people are we talking about here, roughly?
Well, the figures I obtained through FOI last year, for North Belfast alone, there were 3,700 people on the housing waiting list. Almost 2,700 were deemed in housing stress, okay? Housing Executive said we're going to build 350 homes in North Belfast.
Is that 3,700 waiting for houses in North Belfast?
Yes, Stephen, and this is the scale we're talking about.
Well, that's massive, isn't it?
But listen, let me give you this. So 1,900 people waiting on a house in North Down, 1,300 in housing stress, and they're building 460 homes in North Down where there's less need. Now, these are the questions that I'm encouraging you to ask, because answers
okay.
need to be given.
Cal McKeown, we've got to leave it there, but thank you very much
indeed. Thank you.
Right, here's Mark in Belfast in this. Morning, Mark.
How are you doing, Stephen?
Go ahead, Mark.
My dad moved into Torrance in 1943 and lived there until we were ethnic cleansed out of Torrance. And as a pensioner cried his eyes out, when we had
you use that term, Mark. That's an extreme term, isn't it?
It was extreme being ethnic cleansed out of a house that he lived in since 1943. Was that not extreme, though? No? You tell me.
What do you think the situation is now, Mark?
The situation is that there has been a demographic change in North Belfast going on since the 1970s. And listen, the Nationalist community have a shortage of houses, but the Nationalist community have been pushing at every corner of every Protestant estate in North Belfast since the 1970s. and what they want and what the government wanted from the 80s onwards was a plan to move all social housing Protestants as far north beyond Glengormley and as far east.
Well, no, we don't know that. No, Mark, we don't know that.
Do because the history
tells you.
North Belfast was a predominantly Protestant
Catholic
area. That's the facts, Stephen. You wanted facts, and that is the facts. It also has changed the voting in North Belfast. The voting has changed from the 70s, 80s, 90s, now that we are a total minority. It's also changed across Belfast because of that we're a minority in Belfast. And that's when Gerry Kelly stood in the statue at City Hall and said, welcome to nationalist Belfast. You can't just solve their problem by creating a problem and forcing Protestants out.
But there's nobody forcing Protestants out, Mark. What Carol McCullen's doing from Sinn Féin is that she's fighting for more housing for people who need a house.
She's fighting for North Belfast. They've been fighting for it from the 70s. And she's still fighting for it. And they chip away until there's not a Protestant left in North Belfast.
Well, they would reject
that's
that.
The facts. Well, they might reject it, but it's the facts.
It's the facts in your head.
It's my head. Torrance was a housing estate that was 98% Protestants. They flattened it when they ethnic cleansed us out of it, and they rebuilt it, and there's two houses with Protestants in it. Now, you tell me.
Were there not areas where Catholics had to move out?
I don't. Not where I lived, there wasn't. No.
Well,
the community where I lived, the Catholic community has got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the Protestant community no longer exists. No longer exists. I don't live where I was born and bred. Yeah. There's two Protestant families live there.
Well, Sinn Féin did not ethnically cleanse anyone. Let's just be clear about this.
And the nationalist community made an orchestrated attempt to move us in. And what the government actually did do was bumped up the people who was living in Black Golden Age. They bumped them up the housing list and said, we will give you brand new built houses in other Protestant areas where you're bottom of the list. We will rehouse you.
Mark, can we not get into a world in Northern Ireland? I don't know. We've just led the story today about a little girl who the Education Authority have basically ignored and potentially ruined her first day at school, right? Those bread and butter life issues, can we not glue together at some time in this country where we're kind of realising that we're all fighting and wanting the same things for ourselves and our family?
Well, you say that, Stephen, and that is what I want. But it's when people from Sinn Féin come on and try to paint a picture of an unfairness on them, when there is no unfairness on them. The system is trying to allocate them as best it can, but they can't solve the problem for them by saying it would be a better idea now if we moved the Protestants from Upper Ardoyne out and built more houses to accommodate more Catholics, because that's the kind of thing that they would like to happen.
Mark,
but
thank
they
you.
Can't solve the problem doing that.
Mark, thank you. John Scott's a former Ulster Unionist Party councillor, has called us. Morning, John.
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, first of all, the Housing Executive doesn't build any houses anymore. It's housing associations. But I could go through, Carl, same sort of figures for the unionist community. Everyone deserves a house, yes. And I'd give her one estate or one development that let her tell me that I'm wrong. Felton was to be built on the Mill Road for a mixed community. How many unionist families is in that, Stephen? Not one. Not one. Before they were even put up, the Huns out, no Huns here, all the different stuff. And not a unionist family's in that. And that was the Housing Association built those houses. And it's not the Housing Executive who builds the houses. And for Carl to sit there and say, if we should get back to the government with party, then it could be done. Have a local minister to do things, sort things out. But her party is sitting back and not getting into government.
Well, in a statement, the Department of Communities told the Nolan Show that the fundamental principle of the housing selection scheme is that housing is allocated on the basis of the greatest objective need, and that remains the case following its review. They say the review was commissioned by the previous minister and the proposals were put to consultation. Some elements of the review will require a minister to implement, but the department will seek to implement any elements of the review which can be moved forward in the absence of a minister, is what they've said.
That's right, Stephen, but you said yourself there, or they said, parts cannot be done without a minister. We haven't got a minister. and whose fault is that?
John, thank you. Here's Gavin and Lambeg. Morning, Gavin.
Just to add to the discussion, I had watched a programme produced by George Clark where he was targeting about social housing and about trying to push for a campaign to increase the building of social housing. But what I took from the programme was that to control this is to actually to remove the right to buy, and therefore you will see a decline in the application for social housing. In other words, it would go out into the private sector.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. That's basically his stance, that he wants to remove the right to buy or control it for, okay. I don't know, maybe an interim period. I'm only surmising on that point, but what I took from the program was control the right to buy, and therefore you'll see the necessity to go out into the private rental market, or probably if people can aspire to, you know, taking out mortgages as
okay. Gavin, thank you.